Well, I'm going to ask you to stand for a moment as we typically do in the beginning, read just a couple of verses. I know you've got the kids in tow and everything. Thank you for that. Tonight's all about Jesus, and so we read in verse 5, Philippians 2, 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him," and here it is, "and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen to that. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that Jesus has a name that is above every name. And we're thankful that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of you, God the Father. And so we thank you and praise you that you are the faithful one. You always have been faithful, always will be faithful. And we look forward to studying a little bit about Jesus from the angle you've given me tonight to share, Lord. Thank you for ministering to us. We love you and praise you. We thank you for the blessing of your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. Well, Christmas is certainly a great time of gift giving. And I don't know if you're like me. I think you are. You like gifts. Gifts are a blessing. And of course, as we're at this Christmas season, it's really a tradition, I think, birthed out of many things. But of course, as believers, we know that we get to look back at the greatest gift that was ever given, bar none, not even close, the greatest gift that man has needed, which is the gift of Jesus, the Savior of the world. And it's interesting to me when I look at the Bible, and tonight I just wanted to focus on, I believe the Lord's called me to just look at several of the names given to Jesus, some of those names that are ascribed to him. And there's just some beautiful names. And it's interesting today, we can look at names and they don't quite have the same fullness of the meaning they had in the biblical days. Back then they would often wait sometimes a year or two and see the child living and see what their character was like, see what their personality was like, and then they would name them. And sometimes it would be as a result, we saw some in the Old Testament, a difficult birth would happen. And so they'd get this, I'd feel sorry for those kids, carry forever this name that describes this horrible experience or a bad experience that happened at birth. But names were a reflection of who somebody is, or would tell us something about their character or what they're capable of, or the circumstances surrounding things like their birth or early circumstances. But names have great meaning to the Lord. And they really do have a great meaning when they're attached to a person. And tonight as we looked at this verse, the Lord just led me to start here because of verses 9 and 10. And please look at those again. It says, "Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." So what's in a name? There's a famous line from Shakespeare, right? Juliet, Romeo and Juliet, she said, what's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would be the same. And we get to celebrate this Jesus. If he had another name, he'd still be Jesus. He'd still be Savior of the world. Of course, the Lord said that is to be his name. And so tonight we're going to look at a handful of names and the beautiful meanings attached to some of the names in the Bible that are given to Jesus. And I'm going to ask you, we'll do just very little page turning, but we want to begin tonight in Isaiah chapter 9. If you would turn there, please. Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to look at one verse there. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And let me read that for you. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I love that verse. It gives us five different names that are ascribed to Jesus. And even before we get to those names, we're spoiled a little in that we're being told that he would come as a child and as a son. And so God himself, Jesus, the creator of the universe, who created all things. In fact, the Bible is very clear that without him, nothing was made that was made. Jesus is the creator of the universe. He made everything. He came down to this earth and literally put on a human body. He put on flesh. And so he became a child, he became a son. I love what 1 John says about him. It says, by this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. He did come in the flesh. Praise God, he had to become like us. He had to be what is known in the Bible as our kinsman redeemer, because God's standard is perfection in the flesh. Not a one of us could meet that standard. Therefore, Jesus came in the flesh to be just like us and to meet the standard of the Father. That's why he's such a great gift. And not only that, to live a perfect life, but then go to a cross and die for us as a man. So I love that picture. He's a child, and this child is born, and a son is given. That's the great gift word, right? He is given to us. We'll also notice the government will be upon his shoulder. It's interesting to say that line right after talking about a child. But he's Almighty God. Even as a little child, he was Almighty God. And the government will rest upon his shoulders. I'm so glad for that future. I look at man's attempts to run the world today. Oh, it's discouraging, isn't it? It's a mess everywhere you look. If there's one thing we've proven for sure, it's that we don't know how to govern ourselves. We need an Almighty God to come here and show us what it means to govern. And so praise the Lord, one day Jesus will come and he will govern this world. And he'll be a humble king. He'll be a king that only cares about what is best for us, not what's best for himself, not about retaining his power or his prestige or his whatever. Let me read you. I love this long statement given by Gail Irwin. He says this of this child and his government. He said, what might such a government look like? First of all, it would look like its king. Politicians of this day look for what they can get from you. Jesus looks for what he can do for you. Leaders of this day surround themselves with servants. Jesus surrounds us with his servanthood. Leaders of this day use their power to build their empire. Jesus uses his power to wash our feet and to make us clean and comfortable. Leaders of this day, yes, trade their influence for money. God so loved that he gave. Generals of this day need regular wars to keep their weapons and skills up to date and ensure their own advancement. Jesus brings peace and rest to our hearts. The higher the plane of importance one reaches in this world, the more inaccessible they become. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. And leaders of this day are desperate to be seen and heard. Jesus sought anonymity so he could be useful. It's a beautiful description of Jesus, what he has done for us, what he has left to come here and to become a child. Well, with that, let's begin to look at, and we're going to look at 12 different names today. Five of them we begin in this chapter 9, verse 6 of Isaiah. His first name is Wonderful. I love that name. Now, some look at that like it's an adjective of counselor, wonderful counselor. But you should know in the Hebrew, it's a noun. It's not an adjective. His name is Wonderful. I love that. Our Jesus is wonderful. And that's all we need. We don't need to put another word out there, another noun. He is wonderful. And the word wonderful here is beautiful. It speaks of wonder. It speaks of miracles. It's used to speak of something that is awesome. It's used to speak of something that is marvelous. All of those words could be used as a translation of this particular word of Jesus. And sometimes it's helpful, too, to look at other passages of Scripture to say, how is it used? How do we get another kind of glimpse as to what this word is that is a name ascribed to Jesus? And let me read you a couple. Psalm 77 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. And the word wonders in that verse, wonders of old, is the word that's used for Jesus' name. Then in Psalm 78, verse 12, it says, marvelous things. That's it, those two words, marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. So the words marvelous things, that's Jesus. Jesus is marvelous things. He does marvelous things. He is marvelous. He is wonderful. He is awesome. All of these words. I love that beginning for the names of Jesus here. He is wonderful. Next we see that he is counselor. His name will be called Counselor. And that word is very straightforward. It means counselor or advisor. He advises us. He counsels us. He leads us. He guides us. He does so many things for us. And I'm grateful because he's so much wiser than I am. I don't know about you, but do you ever go to a counselor who you know is not as wise as you are? Have you ever done that? Now, it's hard to guess whether they are or not. So you got to be careful making that judgment. But if you're going to a counselor, you want to know they're pretty full of wisdom, pretty full of knowledge, and that they can actually help you and give you some pointers that would lead you and guide you. Jesus is the wonderful, and he is the counselor. And that is just so beautiful. I'm grateful that he has sent his Holy Spirit, who is another helper. I like when Jesus described that in the book of John. I will send another helper. And the word another literally means another of the same exact kind. Another one just like me. So the Holy Spirit is also our counselor and our advisor, but he is sent from Jesus to minister to us. And so he wants to be our helper. He wants to be our advisor. He wants to be our counselor. And he's given us of his Holy Spirit. It's very sad to me when I look back at the fall of man that after God advised Adam and Eve how to live their lives and how to enjoy fellowship with him in the garden, they listened to that horrible advisor, Satan. Oh, you know, did God really say? Did he really tell you that? Oh, you will not surely die, as he just flat out lied to them, and they bought the lie of a bad advisor, of a bad counselor. We have the one faithful and always true counselor. The third description or name that is ascribed to Jesus is Mighty God. He is Mighty God. Kind of seems funny to call a child Mighty God, but that's what he was fully as a child. He is Mighty God. The word mighty means powerful, mighty. It even most often was used in the context of political or military force. And that will be clearly demonstrated on his second coming. I like the word, though. It also means manly or hero or champion. Jesus was as manly a man as you can get. And yet he was sensitive and caring and loving. He demonstrated all of the fruits of the Spirit. And so Jesus is all that. He is Mighty God. And of course, the word for God is the word for God. He is Almighty God. He is Mighty God. And it is so beautiful. And make no mistake, Jesus was very clear when he was in this world. He made it very clear he was God. He was not confused about who he was. In fact, I think maybe the clearest description is two different verses in John chapter 8 as Jesus was speaking to people. And Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I am." That is the equivalent of what was said at the burning bush, I am. And some people say, oh, you misinterpret that. That's not what was really said in the original language. It was very interesting to me that in the very next verse, the religious leaders wanted to stone him because he was declaring himself to be God. They knew what he was saying. In fact, the verse says, then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Earlier in that chapter, he said, I say to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. He was completely sure of who he was. He is Mighty God, and he is Almighty God. That's who he is. Now, I also love that in Hebrews chapter 1, the Father spoke to Jesus and said, but to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The Father called Jesus God. The Godhead's not confused about who Jesus is. He is Mighty God. All three of the members, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are Almighty God. Now, I always find the next name, the fourth name in verse 6, maybe the most interesting name, Everlasting Father. He's not saying he is the Father, but this is the name of Jesus. He is Everlasting Father. Of course, everlasting meaning forever. Jesus lives forever and ever and ever. And he is the Father. That word speaks of a father, of a grandfather. It speaks of a founder, of an originator, and it probably speaks something along those lines. But it helps me to understand how in the New Testament Jesus could say in his own words, I and my Father are one. They are one. They're part of the same Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I think one of the clearest pictures for sure in all of the Bible of Jesus being Almighty God and Everlasting Father is given to us in Psalm 102. Because in Psalm 102, it's a long psalm that is written to Jehovah God. And it says in verse 25, of old you laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak you will be changed. And you will change them and they will all be changed. But you are the same and your years have no end. So Jehovah God is the creator of the universe ever from everlasting. And in Hebrews chapter 1, after the verse I read a moment ago where the Father calls him God, the Father quotes Psalm 102, those verses I just read, to Jesus and calls him Jehovah God. It's beautiful to me to see how the Godhead looks at one another. The fifth name in this verse is Prince of Peace. He is a Prince of Peace. A prince is a representative of a king, one waiting to take over the full power as a king himself. And of course, all authority has been given to Jesus. And because of what he did for us, he became the Prince of Peace. And Ephesians 2 puts it this way, for he himself is our peace, who's made us both one, has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Oh, this world is so struggling, so mightily claims it wants to know peace, but it cannot and will not be found apart from Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. So in this one verse, we see he is wonderful. He is the Counselor. He is Mighty God. He's Everlasting Father. And he is Prince of Peace. Please turn back maybe a page in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 7. And we'll look at one other verse there. Chapter 7 verse 14. And you will notice there it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Which literally means God with us. And that is just so very beautiful that that's who he is. And that is ascribed to Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, where it says, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. He is God in human flesh, even when he was a child. He never stopped being God. Okay, the last place I'm going to ask you to turn, except for communion. Please turn to the very end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 19, just a couple chapters from the back. And I love this picture when Jesus comes back. We're seeing him as we celebrate Christmas as a child. Here's a beautiful picture of the names ascribed to him when he comes back to reign on the earth in the future. We begin with verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. That's his name. We could have given that two, given him the name Faithful and given him the name True. Could have easily named those two. I just happened to put them together. But he is faithful. You never have to doubt, will God keep his word? Will he ever be too tired to keep his word? Will he ever forget his day timer and forget to schedule you in? Never happen. He is faithful. We also see that he is true. Always true, will never not be true. He's always been true. In fact, it's one of those great things in the Bible. It says God cannot lie. So if you ever wonder something God can't do, yeah, he cannot lie. He can't do that. It's not even in his makeup. He's too full of integrity to lie. And so that's the God that we serve, faithful and true. I like this next one just to tickle the mind a little bit. Verse 12, his eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And here it is. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. So the Lord teases us tonight a little bit here. Hey, what's that name that only he knows? I'm convinced that one day he's going to share it with us in heaven. That's one of those treats that's just going to have to wait. Teach a little bit of patience, perseverance, wait till you get to heaven. But there's a name that only he himself knows. That's beautiful. He's God. He should be a little wiser, a little smarter, a little whatever. He can keep whatever secrets. He does have the right to operate on a need-to-know basis, and so he gets to do that. Next, notice in verse 13, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and here's the third name here in this passage. His name is called the Word of God. When you read the Bible, it is the Word of God. It is the Jesus expression of himself. He's telling us about himself. The volume of the book speaks of Jesus. He is the Word of God. Of course, John 1 told us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later in that chapter, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the Word of God. You can count on that. When he speaks, it is the Word of God. Next, notice in verse 16, if you drop down a little, he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I did give him two here. He's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. So we have kings on this earth. We know what that's like, royalty. We make such a big deal out of them. But they're kings with a little k, a small k. He is capital King, Almighty God, King of Kings. And there are lords in this world. In fact, we know, if you ever watch BBC, they have all kinds of lords, don't they? All kinds of people that have been given some name of prominence in their community. And Jesus, yet, he is Lord of Lords. And every knee will bow to him one day. But we end today with the 12th name, and that is the greatest name, which is where I began, the name of Jesus, that every knee will bow. And I'm grateful. I'm not going to have you turn there. But in Luke chapter 1, the angel appeared to Mary and said, "You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." I love the name of Jesus. I don't know about you. Do you just sometimes you just say somebody's name and it just brings just joy to your heart? And it saddens me that the world cringes by and large at his name. It is so sweet, so soothing to hear that name. And I think maybe the reason that it's so soothing is because the Holy Spirit is just bearing witness inside of us what a sweet name that is. And you know, his name is a compilation. It's a compound word. It comes really, it's a transliteration of Joshua from the Old Testament. And it comes from two words, Jehovah Yeshua. And it simply means Jehovah is the name for God and Yeshua means he saves. It literally means God saves. Whenever you say the name of Jesus, you are literally saying God saves. That's what he came to do. And it's just so beautiful that we can look at this name and know it speaks of God that saves. And in Acts chapter 4, let me read this to you. It's beautiful. Verse 4, chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." There's no other name that can save someone, only the name of Jesus and all that is attached to that. Well, as we kind of get ready to close here, I wanted to share an interesting and funny little story that I experienced many, many years ago when I was first in college. I was at USC for a year and a half, and I was in ROTC. This really relates to how can Jesus have all of these names? You know, we all can carry many titles in life, right? Well, one time I had a buddy that was in his little platoon, and he was there, and he was being interrogated. I don't know what you want to call it. When your superior is yelling at you, you get a little nervous. And he's standing there, and the guy next to him, and he's yelling at him, and he asked what my friend's name was who was next to him. And he said the wrong name. And so then he comes over to my friend and says, "Is that your name?" Well, we all had name tags on our uniforms. Kind of hard to lie about what your name is. And so my friend says, "Yes, that's my name." He says, "Well, how can that be your name? Your badge says whatever." He says, "Sir, I have two names." The guy ended up leaving him alone. He was so impressed he stuck up for his buddy. He just walked on. That's really great. How could a guy think? It's not often we think on our feet that quickly, is it? Well, Jesus had multiple names. I've read to you just 12 tonight, could have called it 13. We could have picked many, many more names here in the Bible. But there's nothing like the name of Jesus. And it's so great that yet Jesus carries all these names, all these titles ascribed to him. But he is God saves, and he saves us, and he's a great God. And tonight we get to just worship him. We're going to have communion in just a minute. But what we get to do on a night like this is remember how great he is, everything that he's done for us. We get to worship him. We get to praise him. As you open up gifts tomorrow, you get to remember the greatest gift man has ever seen is Jesus, because he came to save me. So let me just read you, just for fun, these names that we've looked at tonight. Wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is Counselor. Jesus is Almighty God. Jesus is Everlasting Father. Jesus is Prince of Peace. Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus is Faithful and True. He's the name that only he knows, whatever that name is. He's the Word of God. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And most importantly, he is Jesus. He saves us. So let's worship our Lord. Let's praise him tonight. And if you happen to be here and don't know him, he loves you and wants to save you. And you can simply respond to him in faith and say, I want to put my faith in you. I know I'm a sinner, and I know that he died for me, and I want to be saved. And then you get to enjoy communion the way it was intended to, thanking him for what he's done for you. Let me close in prayer, and then we'll begin to celebrate communion. Father, thank you for being so faithful to us to send this Jesus, the name that is above every name, that is so sweet, that is so pure, that is so right. And we just praise him tonight. Father, we praise you for sending him. We praise you for sending your Holy Spirit to confirm these things in our hearts and minds, to open up your word to us, to help us to grow in our knowledge of Jesus and to walk in obedience to him. So thank you for doing all of these things. Thank you for being faithful. We love you and praise you. And we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.